Meeting will be called to order. We do have a quorum.
I've since gotten better.
We have meeting minutes to approve for March 19th of 2014. Would anyone like to read it again? Okay. Could we get...
You want how?
Tap, buzz head.
I see. Good. Upside down, too. It's louder on the other side.
Oh, no.
Maybe she doesn't.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
The March 19th, I don't show that I was present, yet I made a motion.
Okay.
So that's an issue.
Good catch. Okay.
If I could be added to those, I appreciate it.
We will add you to the list. Okay, any other comments? Would anyone like to move these minutes with that correction?
So moved.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? The motion carries. They're passed. Okay, so welcome back.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
This is like an ongoing bill here. We had our third meeting. So look forward to you leading us through this process for amendments today.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and members. So we've moved the bill and held a public hearing, and now is our opportunity to amend the bill. And we had amendments come in a timely way, so I hope everybody's had a chance to read them, and they've been posted as well. 24 hours, even for more than 24 hours, because we had thought originally we were going to do this last night. So I will move a few author's amendments first, and then I think those members that intend to do amendments, you know, I think Mr. Scheer will, after I do my author's amendments, Mr. Scheer will has an order, I think, to which amendments will go in. So the first one I'd like to do, Madam Chair, is move the A4 amendment, and I'll explain that amendment.
Okay, so we have now, you just moved it, so that's...
Yes, so the A4 amendment, Madam Chair, this relates to some testimony we heard last night. The County's Transit Improvement Board talked about the need for them to maintain the first quarter cent that of the metro sales tax that is raised, because they're currently have raised that quarter cent through their own process at the counties, and that was through enabling legislation from the 2008 transportation bill. And so the amendment allows them to keep that first quarter cent and also designates the that money to be used for transitways. And so this was following the testimony that Commissioner McLaughlin made last night.
Okay. Anybody? A discussion? Okay. Representative Mason, then Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, members, I'd like to amend his amendment using Amendment A-15. And the amendment does three things. First, it redistributes the least motor vehicle sales tax between the metro counties and Greater Minnesota Transit on a basis of 40% to the metro area, 60% to rural transit. It limits the amount that Hennepin County and Ramsey counties receive based on counting only 50% of their total populations, and it provides that 1/6 of a cent of transit sales tax authorized under this bill will go proportionally to each county in the metro area. The money can be used for transit purposes in Hennepin County and can be used for all transportation and transit purposes in the other six counties. I'd appreciate your support. Thank you.
Okay. Representative Hornstein, you can make a comment on your amendment to your amendment.
Madam Chair and members, I will support this amendment. You know, the effect of this is that some of the money that originally was intended for transit purposes will now be available for road purposes. This is in response to testimony we received and communication, quite frankly, that we received from Dakota County and from Scott County. Representative Beard and I had a very good meeting with some officials from Scott County a couple of days ago, And while I don't think this goes to the extent that they would like it to go, there was an interest in being able to use some of the money designated for transit for road purposes. And so this is actually a pretty good chunk. It's, as I think Representative Mason mentioned, this is 1/6 of the new 3/4 cent sales tax that is raised. So while I do have some concerns about it, I will support it. And I think this is, again, in response. We have a hearing process. There's a reason you hear. And I have heard loud and clear, certainly from Dakota County, but also from Scott County, about the need for this. So.
Okay. Representative Baird, are you going to comment on this amendment?
Well, Madam Chair, I've got several questions about this amendment all of a sudden, because I have the A-12 amendment to discuss to the bill, but perhaps Chair Hornstein can, and I realize we're on the amendment to the amendment now, Chair Hornstein can talk about, or maybe my staff is more, or my questions more appropriately directed to Mr. Burris. Our amendment that I'm bringing forward for Scott and Carver County has many reasons I don't want to get into here. I'll wait until my amendment, if my amendment still is even germane, and that's my question. Chair Hornstein or Mr. Burris, I suppose, will the A-15 amendment even be germane or relevant if this amendment is adopted? How does that alter that landscape?
Okay. Mr. Burris, would you?
I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Mine's the A-12, not the A-15. I apologize. Thank you.
Representative Holberg, do you want to have
Chair?
We're still on your question, but
Burris
is it
needs
advice?
Some additional time. I was just going to ask another question, but maybe he's ready.
Well, Representative Beard, I think you had some more questions, didn't you?
Yes, I did. Madam Chair, Chair Hornstein, as I'm looking at the A-4 amendment here, excuse me, you talk about adding an additional 3/4, but I think it was 1. Because, as you remember, under the original CTIB legislation, which gave so many of us heartburn a few years ago, one of the things that we did were grateful for was that it was a voluntary association of the metropolitan counties. The county boards, by resolution, could opt in. Under the House File 2395, it becomes compulsory.
Correct.
Which is a whole other discussion, how you compel an elected board, order them to join something, and then lay a 1% tax on them. Does this amendment intimate then that it's still 1% on the counties that are currently not in CTIB? And does this amendment still force the counties that are not participating into the CTIB scheme of things?
Chair Hornstein.
Madam Chair, Representative Beard. Yes, the there is a uniform 1 cent tax in the 7 counties under this bill, and that is collected by the state, and that we have a joint certification process so that that money is split between the counties and the Met Council. So you are correct, and you know what we're doing. The reason that this amendment to the amendment fits with my amendment is that we're making it very clear that we're walling off this first 1/4 cent that is the status quo in 5 counties from the 3/4 that this bill adds. And so what we're doing is saying that, unlike the first 1/4 cent, which is dedicated exclusively to transit, the remaining 3/4 of the new, this relates to a division of the remaining 3/4 of the new cent, new tax, which will be a total of 1 cent uniformly throughout the region.
Representative Beard.
Wow. Okay, Mr. Chair and members, that still does not get at the heart of the principle that I'm trying to defend for Scott and Carver County then, that although membership, it appears, in CTIB will be voluntary after the if this bill passes, the 1% will not be. It will be levied by the state and handed over to a conglomeration of CTIB and the Met Council. And if we want to defend ourselves, then we better pass the resolution and join, we being Scott County or Carver County in this case. If I'm reading it correctly, that's what I'm thinking I'm understanding.
Chair Madam Chair, there are folks from CTIB here. If that is not the correct interpretation, they'll appear or clarify. But I think that you're reading it correctly, but I want to at least get a second opinion if that's necessary.
Please state your name for the record.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Nancy Haas with Messerly and Kramer here on behalf of CTIB, the County's Transit Improvement Board. To Representative Beard's question, both Scott and Carver under this bill will be required to join the Joint Powers Board of CTIB. Mm-hmm. So they will come in if this bill were to pass, and then the first quarter cent would go to CTIB, and then you're talking about the additional three-quarter cent that gets you to the cent, which would go into joint certification.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, thank you for letting us engage in, because this is committee work now, and this is getting serious. there's so many things my head is trying to get around. One is one body compelling another elected body to join something. I think the way this is crafted, though, it's pretty clever that the state will just come and take money from our businesses that collect sales tax. So I could see where that tail is going to wag that dog. And then 55% of that first quarter will be Scott and Carver County, or the opt-out counties, could spend on transportation purposes, which means we could spend on some on roads and bridges. We could spend some on our transit component. And that's going to remain to see how that works out, because I don't know what Carver's doing with Southwest Metro Transit, but Scott County is about to absorb all of its transit operations into the Minnesota Valley Transit Company, and I'm not sure if that gets beyond the scope of what you're talking about here, Chair Hornstein, or what, but wow, this is a very complicated amendment that has some ramifications for the A-12 amendment I was about to offer.
Okay, we do believe we have, okay, so go ahead.
Madam Chair, can I just clarify one mm-hmm. quick thing for you? Representative Beard, when you look at the A-4 amendment, the 55%, what that is a guarantee to Scott and Carver, similar to Washington County, to have those resources available to those counties, regardless of whether or not they have an existing project in a year. So that's currently under the quarter cent, those resources are used for transit. When you talk about uses for transportation purposes, that's when the amendment comes into play related to the new three-quarter cent.
Chair Hornstein.
Thank you very much. And Representative Beard, maybe this will lessen, perhaps increase the level of heartburn that you have. But the way that this amendment is crafted, the reason it's so long, we're doing something very simple in the amendment. The amendment actually lays out this entire process that is in the bill. I talked with Mr. Burris about why does this amendment need to be 9 pages when we're only doing the small issue of the money being used for roads instead mm-hmm. of transit. And I think there were some reasons that Mr. Burris had to craft it that way. So I just wanted you to be clear, Representative Beard, that the amendment is actually mostly what's in the existing bill.
Okay.
We're not trying to just come here in committee and throw out something that hasn't been out there for a while since the bill was introduced in late February.
Right.
This is pretty much the bill. The only difference is in this amendment is the additional money being available to the counties for road purposes or bridge purposes, or they could use it for transit if they want. But, we're actually in the original bill, and this is the reason we're doing the amendment, is that bill had it entirely used for transit purposes, and now we're offering some additional flexibility with that new money. So I hope that's helpful, Representative Beard. I don't want you to be of the belief that this is 10 pages coming out of nowhere. It's just a small portion of this 10-page amendment is the intended purpose here.
And we have a follow-up for Representative Beard, but Chair Hornstein, can you just be sure, when you've been talking about the amendment, can you just say the name?
The A4
amendment. Right, okay, I just want to make sure that's clear for everybody.
Yes, the A4 right. amendment, and then, the
A15. A15, mm-hmm. Okay, so Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, first, just a process comment. Thank you, Chair Hornstein, for clarifying that, because I didn't mean to insinuate that the A4 amendment was something new that was dropped in. And I understand from having been around here a few years that sometimes simple amendments encompass copious amounts of paper, just to make your point. And I recognize that's what's happening with the A4. Boy, Madam Chair, the A15, the A4 is a small step in the right direction. The A15 is another baby step in the right direction, but I'm still going to have to stick by the people I represent, which is represented in the 12 amendment at some point. So I guess now I'm looking down past you at staff to see if Mr. Burris is ready to speak to the issue of whether the A-12 will even be a relevant or germane amendment should this one, these two amendments be adopted.
Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair and members, if the A-4 and the A-15 amendments were adopted from a technical as well as, I guess, conceptual standpoint, the A-12 amendment could also be adopted. And it would deal with the same general area, but I wouldn't say that that they're fundamentally conflictual components. Put hopefully briefly, that the A-12 amendment would provide authority for the Greater Minnesota, what's known right now as the Greater Minnesota sales tax, to be imposed by counties that would also have the state-imposed local sales tax, and so that the total rate of the combination of sales taxes would be 1%. Mm-hmm. And that is different from the provisions that are proposed in the A4 and A15 amendments on use of some of the transit sales tax money allocating out to the counties for transportation purposes more broadly, as well as the allocation of the motor vehicle lease sales tax revenue. So it's all related, but they are separate components.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative Beard.
Thank you. And to Mr. Burris, thank you for the clarification, and to the Chair, remembering our discussions at our quick meeting in your office the other day with the Scott County folks. With that, Madam Chair, I think I understand the issue and how we're moving here. And again, there are baby steps. The other comments I'll save till the end before we're about to vote on the bill. So with that, Madam Chair, I guess I could lend my tepid support to the amendment and perhaps even the amendment, and then look forward to a discussion on the A-12. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time to do committee work.
You're welcome. Representative Johnson, is this to the A-15 amendment? Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I just have to speak in opposition to the A-15 amendment as it's currently written. If you look at line 1.17 and line 1.23, that is a shift of funding from rural Minnesota to the metropolitan area. One of the reasons I'm supportive of the general bill is because of the funding that's provided for rural transit. And that would, as long as lines 1.17 and line 1.23 are in there, it's hard for me to support that amendment to the amendment. I don't know if the author would be willing to strike those two lines. And I would also want to make sure that just striking those two lines would maintain the 70-30 ratio for that assures 70% of the lease funding to go to rural transit. Those are my thoughts.
So, Representative Clark, were you asking a
Johnson.
Question? Yeah, but that's your mother's maiden name.
Yeah.
And you can take it as a compliment.
Yeah,
okay, thank you.
So usually I don't correct, but for some reason I didn't.
Representative Johnson, were you asking a question or just commenting?
Well, I guess I'm asking the question of the author of the amendment to the amendment, or the author of the A-15 amendment, if she would consider deleting. I'm asking two questions. Would she consider deleting 1.17 and 1.23? And then I'm asking Mr. Burris if that would achieve. I want to make sure I'm not missing anything, to be real honest with you, that it would achieve maintenance of the 70-30 split to assure funding for rural transit.
Okay. Representative Mason.
No, that is something I'm not willing to agree. Right now, the percentage is just way unfair.
Okay. So, we now have.
Madam Chair.
Representative Johnson.
So again, I have to speak in opposition to the A-15 amendment to assure that rural transit, which is an expanding, growing area in Minnesota that offers a lot of opportunity in multiple communities, that I would have to urge that be rejected.
Representative Holberg.
Madam Chair, my understanding that this language is just relative to the metro area sales tax and doesn't impact funding for Greater Minnesota Transit at all. Is that, maybe I'm misunderstanding what the A15 amendment's doing.
Mr. Burris, could you answer that question?
Madam Chair, members, there is a funding component going to Greater Minnesota Transit from the leased vehicle sales tax, and this would change the allocation between what goes to some metro area roads and Greater Minnesota Transit. So the allocation under the A15 amendment would be 60% of revenues going to Greater Minnesota Transit and 40% going to certain metro area roads.
Madam Chair?
Yes. Representative Johnson.
In the interest of moving this bill along today, I withdraw my opposition to the A15 amendment.
Okay. Representative Mason, did you have anything else to say to your A15 amendment to A4 amendment?
No, I just appreciate your support. Again, it's a matter of fairness, and that's why I'm moving this forward.
Okay, are there any? Okay, Representative
Madam Chair, again, I would urge adoption. I appreciate Representative Beard's support of this, however tepid. but I will say it's not a minor matter. I mean, I don't know the. I don't have a spreadsheet, but you know, my sort of back of the napkin calculations. This is moving something like $30 or $40 million into possible road. Work or road purposes, road and bridge purposes in the metro area. So, you know, that's why I have mixed feelings about it. But I will support the Mason amendment.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now I'm upset. So, I'm just kidding. Do we have anybody here in the audience that represents rural transit that could speak to this amendment and just offer some clarification? Because you know, I can't support it.
Okay. What? Looks like we have somebody coming down. So you'd like to ask a question of this person, Representative Hamilton?
Yes. I guess okay. My question would be, where does, rural transit, are we in supportive of this, or what's your thoughts?
Please state your name for the record.
Madam Chair, Representative Hamilton, this is Sherry Munyon with the Minnesota Public Transit Association. MIPTA has been strongly advocating that the appropriate split of the lease vehicle revenue is 30-70%, 70% going to Greater Minnesota. As with a lot of people in this room, people are trying to craft a bill and negotiating, and we want to keep a transportation package moving.
Representative Hamilton.
You know, why in the spirit of compromise, we're always the ones compromising. And that's upsetting. I ask for a roll call.
A roll call has been requested. Okay. Okay. Yes. Would you, committee, let our assistant please take the roll?
Hornstein?
Aye.
Bernardi?
Aye.
Beard?
Is this the amendment? The amendment?
Yes.
Benson?
No.
Dean?
Aye.
Earhart?
Yes.
Hamilton?
No.
Houseman?
Yes.
Holberg?
Yes.
Howe?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mahoney?
Aye.
Mason?
Yes.
Metza?
Aye.
O'Neill?
No.
Petersburg?
Yes.
Sundin?
Aye.
Carlson?
It's not here.
Okay. 13 ayes and four nays, the amendment A15 does pass. Now we're on the A4 amendment, as amended.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. So again, this is a little more, a little perhaps less controversial. It simply allows the existing CTIP counties to keep their first quarter cent that's already been levied and use it for transitway purposes.
Okay, members have any questions? Okay, we will now vote on the A4 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The amendment passes. Okay, we have an author's amendment from Chair Hornstein.
Thank you. I have an additional author's amendment, A11. And this relates to the section of the bill on transit shelters. Representative Clark has been working with her constituents and others on the issue of the transit shelters in the metropolitan area. And members, I've been taking the bus most of the time this winter. Bad enough driver when it's sunny and 70 degrees, but when it's snowy and icy, I really don't like to drive. And I've experienced firsthand what Representative Clark is talking about. It's very difficult to... these shelters don't provide a lot of shelter when it's 20 degrees below zero. And oftentimes we see huge snow drifts at the bus stops. I've had to climb snow drifts in order to get into the bus. And so this is a real issue. Now, when it was incorporated into the bill, and I think this is some legislation that Representative Clark has worked on for a while, the Metro Transit had some concerns about the fiscal costs. Representative Clark, Mr. Chetnan, and I had a meeting last week. We worked through these issues, and I think this amendment encompasses understandings that were reached between Mr. Shetton and myself and Representative Clark. So I think it significantly reduces some of the fiscal costs, and there were some items in the bill and in that section that were a little unwieldy for the Met Council to implement, particularly some of the lighting and electrical requirements and that were mentioned in terms of these shelters. Obviously, it would be great if we could have heat in all of them, but that's not going to be practical at this time. But what this amendment does is at least it moves us in the direction of making our shelters truly provide more shelter.
Okay, well, it looks like we're ready to vote on that one. So all those in favor of A11 amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? The amendment passes. So now this one is mine. Do I just talk? Do you want to?
I'll chair from here.
Okay. Representative Hornstein.
Vice Chair Bernardi, can you please explain the A8 amendment?
The A8 amendment is doing just a little bit different than what we did last year. We have a requirement for the funds that have been spent on bike and ped over a four-year period to continue to be spent that in the next year. And right now, the way it's set up is it's a rolling four-year average. And so if people have earmarks and they want to spend extra money into the district, it adds greater amount of money to that number, which means more money needs to be spent on in the future, and that wasn't the intent of the legislation. There was an example in Duluth where the district wanted to spend more money, but they didn't want that amount to be rolled forward through continuous years. So what I'm doing is making this so that it's 2009 to 2012, which is about the safety loop period, and then just that is the baseline, and nothing else gets added into it to make the number bigger over the years. That's what the intent of this is.
Discussion of the eight amendment. Representative Beard.
Mr. Chairman, when we get to the final passage of the bill, I had some questions about this whole section and what in the world it meant. But now I'm looking at the amendment and thinking, are we, and the chair, to the maker of the motion, Mr. Chair, Is this whole funding requirement and making it mandatory going to be actually an impossible task? Because we're not sure what the feds are going to do and how much money they're going to send us. And I'm trying to make sense of the whole section here, especially now in light of the A8 amendment. So if the maker of the motion could speak to that, are we boxing ourselves into a situation where if the feds don't send us that much money, we're going to be out of compliance with something in statute?
I think it would be good to pull down Scott Peterson from MnDOT to answer that question for you, if he doesn't mind.
Mr. Peterson, I'll adjust my mess here so you can have a clean desk. Mr. Shetland thought that was funny. Okay. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Peterson. I'm not used to doing that from here.
Okay, well, he's actually chairing it right now from the side of you.
Please state your name for the record.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Scott Peterson from MnDOT. And with Representative Beard, with respect to your question, the way Representative Bernardi has characterized it, the amendment is accurate. We had a concern for, based upon the provision that was passed last year, that we had to at least match the rolling average of 4 years of spending on transportation alternative projects. And over time, that average would continue to increase, because if we couldn't go under it, we're likely to go over, and so the average would increase. And so it was actually something that we favored, that we just moved to a fixed average amount. And so with respect to your question, though, about are we locking ourselves into something, it's hard to forecast what the feds will do. Mm-hmm. What we're talking about here is an amount in the neighborhood of $20 to $23 million a year. Mm-hmm. We have spent about that much every year, and in our current statewide transportation improvement program, we're actually expecting to spend more than that amount, substantially more, and I can talk to you about that or give you some of those numbers if you'd like. If we get a substantial reduction in federal funds, obviously we'd have to come back and revisit this if it's a significant difference, and I'm sure you're aware of the condition of the Federal Highway Trust Fund. Mm-hmm. And we are all optimistic that the federal government will fix the current funding issues with that, but as of this point in time, they have not.
Representative Beard.
Well, thank you for the explanation. But members, as we vote on this, I'm just going to point out that in line 1.6, it says the commissioner shall obtain an amount in federal authorizations that is equal to or greater than the annual average federal authorizations, et cetera, et cetera. Our commissioner is expected to go to Washington and shall obtain more federal money than he has over the rolling average. That's the one I'm choking on. And I realize that's existing law you're working with here. I mean, we're not amending that. But I just want to point out to the committee what we're doing and the box we may be putting ourselves in counting on Washington, which I'll just point out, prints 43 cents out of every dollar they send us right out of thin air or borrows it from the Chinese. Then back to the bill. I'll make the comment now, and I won't make it at the end, Mr. Chairman. In subdivision 3 on lines 25.18, the section we're amending here in Article 6, we're requiring the commissioner to spend a minimum of $16 million in excess of the average annual spending, and we're modifying what the average annual is. But this is a lot of money we're requiring the Commissioner of Transportation to go to Washington and get. And it might be a fool's errand we're sending him on, and we're about to put it in statute. And that's my comment, and I'll end my comments with that, and we'll just take the vote and see what happens, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Representative Beard. And, you know, this is a – you're echoing actually a theme that I've mentioned, you know, ever since I recognized that the Highway User Fund was going to run dry in August, and that is – it's difficult to rely on the federal government for anything. But I do believe in the spirit of this amendment. I'm going to support it, Representative Bernardi. I know what you're trying to do in terms of, you know, holding everyone accountable to commitments on bike ped and other alternatives. So I'll support the amendment. I encourage the committee to do so. Oh, I guess all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
No.
Opposed.
Nay.
No.
Okay, motion prevails.
Okay, now we get back to how we all feel comfortable with the chairing up here at this side. Thank you. Okay, so we have the A-10 amendment before us. Representative Earhart, would you like to speak to your amendment?
Yes, Madam Chair, and I've got a handout here if I can distribute that. Thank you. You know, I've a long history of slashing taxes, and this is another of my efforts. Like that? But what this amendment does is, as you can see by sub 3, those are the current rate of taxation on E85, M85, and other gasoline, which now has us at a position, as you will see on that chart, of about 21st at 47 cents with the combined state and federal. Oh yeah, California is a whiz. 70 cents a gallon out there combined tax. Can you imagine that? Anyway, with this effort, we will reduce the excess taxes by, I think it's 5% here. And maybe not. But anyway, it's listed on 1.11 and 1.12 and 1.13. The reductions in the current tax rate with a 5% combined receipts tax as a substitute. And that will actually slash some taxes, but it will raise a little more on another basis. So we will arise from 21st place in the rankings of combined taxes to about 13th. And I think that's only fair that we're substituting one for another with the possibilities of greater growth through the combined receipts tax as we go along here. So that's my amendment, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Hornstein.
Hi, thank you for offering this, Representative Earhart. you know, I mean, yeah, it's pretty straightforward. You are, as you said, lowering the rate of taxation. That also means lowering some of the revenue for roads and bridges. But, you know, I will support this, Representative Earhart. I know what you're trying to do. And, you know, for those who feel that, you know, our rate of taxation in this bill is high, you know, this is an amendment for you. I'll support it because, you know, it seems to be in a direction that we want to go. It lowers the gas tax at the pump, I believe. So, again, it's a little less resources for roads and bridges, but I will support you in your efforts here to you know, lower this gross receipts tax.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The only question I have is that if you reduce the revenue resources that is being raised, don't you ultimately impact all the rest of the bill itself and what the dollars that it will raise and the impact of the bond availability, et cetera? And doesn't it fully implement and impact the rest of the bill to the point where you have to rework most of the other numbers?
Representative
Chair?
Representative Earhart.
Well, it isn't quite doing that because while we're lowering one tax, we're imposing another. And so the net effect is to come out with a little more money of tax.
Representative Petersburg?
Okay, but I understand the attempt. I'm just wondering about how when you roll over the averages from the year to year, that rotates that, whereas the per gallon tax is a little bit more stable. And so I'm wondering if it is indeed really a one-for-one adjustment. I just would like clarification on that.
Well, I don't,
Representative
Madam Chair, I don't think it's quite a one for one. It's one and a half for one. It's a little more raised, provided, of course, we maintain stability in the gasoline supply, and the tax, the gasoline keeps rising.
Okay. Representative Petersburg, one follow-up.
Just minor quick follow-up. Would that not then change the data that we have in the fiscal note?
Representative Earhart.
Madam Chair, I think we have a new fiscal note. I don't know if we have that or not. We don't have it yet.
No, we don't.
Well, I don't know what to say about that. Where is that fiscal department? Don't they know we're taking this bill up today?
Representative Lee, do you have any insight on that? Mr. Lee.
Yes.
Madam Chair and members, at this time, fiscal note was prepared for the bill, but I did not have the amendment to the bill to ask for a fiscal note for. So.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'd like to pick up on what Representative Petersburg is asking. I guess specifically, I'm interested what would be the impact on potential funding for the corridors of commerce with this amendment. I'd like to have some sense of what it does in terms of overall spending.
Well,
for potential overall
spending. Madam Chair, I don't think it has anything to do with the spending. What it's going to do is have more money to spend if you do this amendment. We're substituting one tax for a new and modern tax. The excess tax is the old style, and we're going to combine receipts as portion of our taxation of petroleum products in this state, like many other states have done. One that's more modern, that grows with the price of fuels as that mounts, this would be a sales tax at the basic combined receipts of the... at the start. No change, no mystery. It's the same way that excess taxes are collected and remitted now.
Okay, Representative Howe.
Hopefully this is a simple question, Madam Chair.
Okay. Please.
I just want to know if this changes the distribution of funds in any way in the formulas.
This would be a good... Representative Earhart, do you want to answer that, or do you want
I'm not sure. I know what you mean. The question is, you're going to have more money to distribute on the same... Which formulas are you talking about, Representative?
Representative Howell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to know, does this affect any of the distribution of where these funds go currently? Is it the same as what it was, or does it have some effect on where these dollars go?
Representative Earhart.
Sure, I don't think so, because it goes into the Highway User Trust Fund, and that's by Constitution. We're not doing anything with that.
Representative Hamilton, and then we have Holberg and Benson on deck.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair. And, you know, I think I like the amendment about lowering the taxes on E85 and whatnot, with some of the opposition to the renewable fuel standards and some of the mandates that we have in some of the bills that were drafted to basically wage war against biodiesel. So I think I like that provision. My question to the author, does this make up for the monies lost to rural Minnesota under the A-15 amendment?
Representative Earhart.
Madam Chair, are we taking up the A-15 yet?
No. Madam Chair, I'm saying...
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. With the in this bill, or in this amendment, because of, you know, maybe promoting more on the E85 or that, with lowering the taxes on that end, does this help make up some of the money that was lost with the adoption of the A15 amendment?
Oh,
that's my question.
Representative Earhart.
Madam Chair, you'll have to ask the author of the A15 amendment.
And she's not. Okay. Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just to be clear, Representative Earhart, you presented this as your tax cut amendment, but it raises more revenue.
Well, you're absolutely right, and I'm glad you finally got that out on the table, because I've been trying to explain that to the folks over there, but it does cut certain taxes.
You're my favorite Democrat.
Representative Benson. Yeah.
Thank you. I guess I do want to try to make some sense out of it. I understand that in this bill originally, with a 5% on the wholesale, which is still an excise tax, but it is what it is. It's 5% on the wholesale. It will raise an equivalent of 12 cents a gallon. So what we see, if we look at just the one number for gasoline, the tax rate's going to go from 25 to 20. So if you look at the total number of gallons, it goes from 12 cents to 7 cents. So it will drop the amount of money that we're going to receive from taxation on a gallon of gasoline by the equivalent amount, so around 40% less. So that's what we're taking a look at. As a Republican, certainly I'm all for reducing taxes. But in the final analysis, I've been reserving my comments to the end because I won't vote for the bill as it stands anyway. But just to make it clear, whatever we're trying to accomplish here, somebody's trying to make a point in terms of I'm reducing taxes. We're still going to raise taxes on the people of Minnesota by 7 cents a gallon. So that's where we're really at.
More than that.
Okay, looks like we've got everybody's questions answered. So we will now take a vote on the A-10 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed?
No.
The amendment passes. Okay. We now have an A-13 amendment, and that is going to be replacing the A-12 amendment so that it fits in with the other amendments that have been passed. That's a tongue twister. So Representative Beard, would you like to speak to your A-13 amendment?
Madam Chair, yes, I would. And just a moment here, I got my notes laying here somewhere in all this blizzard of paperwork because there they are. I have the original A-12 with my notes on it. Members, one of the questions I was trying to get at whenever the amendment was offered, 15 was offered to A-4, was what does that do to the A-12? Thankfully, we've got competent and speedy staff here that could actually help the A-12 now become the A-13, which accommodates what we did with the A-15 to the A-4 and then adopted it to the bill. Do you follow me, Madam Chair?
Could you say that again, Representative?
So here we are with the A-13, and you'll note that there's a little handwritten note in there, and I guess I first will ask Mr. Burris, can we just incorporate this as the A-13, or do I need to move to delete lines 7 and 8 here, Mr. Burris?
Mr. Burris.
Yeah. Remind me what you told me.
Madam Chair, Representative Beard, you could just incorporate that as an oral change to this A-13 amendment.
Representative Beard.
Well, having straightened all of that out, Madam Chair, to the amendment, if I may. Members, when this when the veto override happened 6 years ago now, one of the concerns that we had, particularly myself being a roads and bridges guy, if we could have gotten a straight gas tax vote, we'd have had a veto override with a lot of Republicans in it. I would just make that statement. This Republican would have joined just because it was the right thing to do. One of the things we were really taken aback at was the creation of a new mid-level government bureaucracy. At least this one has elected officials on it. We're grateful for that. But we created CTIP, and we laid a sales tax on the metropolitan area, and we only let them spend it on basically trains. Those of us that represent areas where we have a different lifestyle and different needs didn't see how that was beneficial or an effective use of the taxpayer money we represent. And so we resisted that. Fortunately, when the bill was originally drafted, it was voluntary association, that quaint American value that we all hold so dear. And so the county I represent declined to join CTIP. But we didn't have the authority at the time to actually levy our own tax to build our own bridges, much beyond what we got back from the state in the CASAW formula and our own property taxes. So a couple years ago, we reworked the 80-county optional sales tax thing to include any county not in CTIP, which included Scott and Carver County. My county board at this moment is actually scheduled a public hearing on April 1st to discuss levying a 0.5% sales tax on our own county for the purposes of doing things that we need in Scott County, not what CTIB or the central state planners at the Met Council decide we need, but what we know we need. We need roads and bridges because we're a fast-growing county that is an access point for all of western and southern Minnesota to the metro area. So we need to do some really useful and helpful things to our highway system, including our county roads. Now, members, if you look at the funding chart on what this House Bill 2395 actually does, it is rich for the transit folks, rich beyond their wildest dreams. 150% of the Met Council's unmet need by their own admission, which is subject to discussion over the next few years. Rural transit, the transit plan that Chair Hornstein passed back in about 2009 or 10, met at about 115 to 120% of need. But the roads and bridges, particularly the county road formula, is met at only 11%, even with all these new taxes. I'm not complaining on behalf of Scott County. I'm telling you that we're here to step up and do our part if you'll let us levy our own tax and invest it where we know it needs to be invested. Because, members, transit in Scott County does not equal steel wheels on steel rails. Transit in Scott County equals good highways, good access points, and maybe now and then a transit advantage. It involves us working with our neighbors to incorporate ourselves into Minnesota Valley Transit. It involves express buses in and out of town. It involves working with our friends at Pennwakanon Community, who, oh, by the way, on their own dime, run 18 regular routes every day all over the cities. Did you know that? And, oh, by the way, that doesn't count in anybody's transit plan because we do it ourselves. We're pretty proud of that, if you can't tell. And so what I'm asking you to do is to help me defend the citizens that I represent and my friends over in Carver County. They're all cousins of ours anyhow. We're not in CTIB. We don't necessarily want to go in unless you force us in, but that's another discussion for the end of the bill. This amendment merely says that if we levy up to a half a point for ourselves, and then if this legislature imposes a 1% sales tax on the entire metro area, you'll let us defend and keep our half point and only levy an additional half. We'll still accept the imposition of the 1%, but the half that our board voluntarily levies on its own citizens will remain for our purposes until the expiration of the project dates. Now, members, you remember any county outside of CTIB can levy its own tax up to a half point. But one of the requirements is they have to identify the projects, and it has to have a start date and an end date. The projects that the Scott County Board is anticipating have start dates and end dates that will run probably somewhere 7 or 8 years, roughly speaking. So at some point they're going to expire, and then we'll be sucked into the whole thing. That's another discussion for the next legislator who represents Scott County. But at this moment, I'm here asking you to help me defend the good folks in Scott County who are discussing levying their own tax for some transit and road purposes, because that's where our transit benefits, and we know what we need out there. And at the end of the day, I think it's good policy. And, Mr. Chairman, I want to thank you for meeting with us and giving us the assurances you did that that wasn't the intention of the bill to add an additional 1 point on top of our half. This amendment merely codifies the gentleman's understanding we have, and I'd appreciate your support. Madam Chair, thank you for letting me expound on the A13 amendment.
Chair Hornstein.
Madam Chair and Representative Beard, a couple things. First of all, I do appreciate the couple of times I've been down to Scott County and our meeting. I think that what we have to do in terms of transit in the region is to have a regional approach to this question. And the broader problem that I think we have, and I know we have, and I trust will be resolved in the next few years, and Representative Beard, I think you and I agree on this, we may have a slightly different approach to it, but we have CTIB, we have the TAB, we have the Met Council. We need to streamline and reform how transit governance is done in this region. And I hope that we can, I think what you're talking about is a larger symptom of that problem. But, you know, in terms of this particular legislation, I'm looking at this as a regional approach. What I had said, I think, in that meeting is that it's unclear really what the future of this bill is. I mean, we're going to taxes, I think there was a question there whether Scott County should, you know, go ahead independent of any action that we're taking at this moment in the legislature related to their interest in raising revenue. And I would not stand in the way of that, because the legislative process is not anything that one can predict. So, you know, I just wanted to be clear that my statement at the meeting was I would not want to, or this committee or our actions today should not stand in the way of Scott County pursuing what it wants to do on your amendment. But I will oppose the amendment, because I do believe that we need to have a regional approach, and that there are significant transit needs in Scott County, whether they are rail or not, that I think could be accomplished very expeditiously through this approach, particularly the 169 project that you have. And we'd love to have Scott and Carver, you know, at that regional table making regional decisions. People in Scott County are commuting back and forth to downtown Minneapolis. People in Scott County are commuting to Hennepin and Ramsey throughout the region. So we really, I think, have to look at this problem and this challenge as a region. And that's why we have this set up in terms of metropolitan taxation with regard to transit. So I would oppose the amendment, although I do understand and appreciate your concerns, Representative Beard, and I want to continue talking and meeting with you and people in Scott County.
Representative Beard.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I won't belabor the point. I want to thank the Chair for his comments, except for the opposition part. I'm sorry about that. But I just would like to point out to the committee that the action here this morning doesn't affect really what the county board is doing. They're moving ahead, because they see the need, they see the tool in the toolbox, and they're willing to make the case to the citizens that here's an opportunity for us to actually do some significant build out on our county road system outside the CASA situation, with the money that we will collect and invest where we know it needs to be made. Should this amendment not prevail and the rest of this bill become law, I'd point out that an additional $12 million a year will be taken from Scott County and handed over to CTIB to build trains pretty much in Hennepin Ramsey County. What comes back to us out of this investment far exceeds what we need for actual roads and bridges in Scott County. And I might point out again that this House file underfunds substantially the need for county roads, not to mention trunk highways. We're willing to step up and fill some of that gap with our own tax, and I'm just asking for your help to reinforce us that we don't get scalded to the tune of an additional percent on top of the half that we're about to levy or considering levying on our citizens in Scott County. With that, Madam Chair, I'd encourage support and look for the vote.
We have two more people on deck. We have Representative Dean and Earhart, and we'll start with Representative Dean.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess I'm curious. You know, I hear this notion that it's just the roads and bridges down in Scott and, of course, Carver. And I haven't done any research, and I'm assuming that maybe someone has, on how many residents actually drive from Scott County, go to the Mall of America, or take a bus from the area to the Mall of America and get on the train to come downtown. Because I believe that there is a connection to that transportation, albeit, you know, it's not a 90%, you know, effective rate of people that are driving into Minneapolis are actually, you know, hooking into the transit system. But I think there is some overlap there, and I would just like to at some point see that overlap recognized, because I think often we talk about these two counties as if they're totally isolated and not part of the transit system. So just a point, Madam Chair. Thank you.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, I can just give a brief overview, and this would be a fascinating committee hearing someday to have the opt-outs in particular come in again. But out of Scott County Transit, both in Prior Lake and in Shakopee, I think there are 7 or 9 buses every morning in town and then back in the evening. That's done with our MVEST, our opt-out dollars. That's paid for in that part of the deal, and we're glad to do that. From Southwest Transit out in Eden Prairie, there's a significant reverse commute. Those buses are full going both ways. I might point out that with the tremendous industrial growth in Shakopee and Northern Scott County, we will probably end up with reverse commutes also, because there are a significant amount of people who drive south to Scott County to go to work, as well as Chaska and the Industrial Park in Chanhassen and so on. But we get that. We just see that the connection right now is not a light rail line across the river. It's a couple of significant bridges. We're glad they're there, and we'd like to see those enhanced in the system to help people get there, whether they bring their own car, whether they come in a bus or a carpool, is something we're happy to work with. But we know where the need is. We're happy to spend the dollars on that need.
Representative Earhart and then Representative Holberg, and I do want to remind members we have four more amendments to get through. If we were to average that out, that would be 5 minutes per amendment. So hopefully we can achieve that. I'm not sure how much conversation we'll have about that, but that will be our goal. Representative Earhart.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beard would yield. I'd like to ask him a question or two.
Representative Beard, will you yield?
Sure.
Okay.
Representative Beard, I was wondering if Scott County had imposed the wheelage tax in this.
Yes, Madam Chair, yes, they have.
Because I know that, Madam Chair, if you want to take care of your county needs, that's a great help. Dakota County receives more from their wheelage tax than they do from the gas tax distribution, so I'm glad that you guys are doing that, and that will help out your county road system very much. Thank you.
Okay, Representative Holberg.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I'm going to speak in favor of Representative Beard's amendment, and certainly each one of our sub-regions have their stories. The city of Lakeville, with the help of Dakota County, in large part with local dollars, rebuilt four major intersections on the 35 corridor. We asked for help from Scott County. They weren't willing to help, but certainly they're using 185th Street to access that corridor has been a big help for mobility. So everybody has their thing or their issues. The reason that I would support this is that it's very clear, and I wish that Alice was still in the room, that we have a dysfunctional regional governance system in transit. And Mr. Chair, you're very good with working people, with people trying to develop consensus, et cetera. The move that's taken in this bill to arbitrarily led by the legislature to shove Scott and Carver County into this process, impose this tax above the objections of the local government units in Scott and Carver County, in my mind, is very counterproductive to resolving what is the bigger issue of a totally dysfunctional system, whether it has to do with the transit taxing district, the opt-ins, the opt-outs, CTIB counties versus non-CTIB counties, and that we as policymakers should be fostering a collaborative process to a solution and not doing something so heavy-handed as what is being done in this bill to Scott and Carver County. And so I would urge members to support the Beard Amendment.
Okay. We can now move to vote on this amendment, which is the A13 amendment. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The motion carries.
Hold on a second. are people? members. I just wanted to see if are people clear about what we're doing here.
You move to reconsider?
No.
Okay. No, well,
a division?
I don't think there's a proper
motion, division?
But I just wanted to make sure people were clear on what we were voting on. So,
Madam Chair, I was clear, but I'll help the process and call for a division.
Okay, thank you.
Representative Mahoney's helping me out. He called for a division.
Okay, we're calling for a division. Those that raise your hands if you voted, if you're voting in favor of the amendment. Mm-hmm. Okay, and those that are voting against?
Motion prevails.
I guess you all lost your voices there.
Okay, the motion fails.
Whoa.
But 7 to 8.
7 to 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
But this, which one are we on? This one? Just one moment, please. Okay. A17, Representative Hornstein. Would you like to speak to your bill? Or your amendment, excuse me.
I don't have a copy of the A17. Sorry. Oh, hold on. Okay, yeah, thank you. Thank you. Yep. Okay, so members, I wanted to, I think, is this our last one?
I don't believe it is. We have, right here I have an A1.
And there's a couple that we're not doing. I think
right.
Mr. Scheer may have.
We need Mr. Scheer back.
Mr. Scheer could clarify which amendments are remaining. I don't think we're doing these other ones. Madam Chair, so the A17, I think, is in response to some really positive discussions we've had about the question of efficiency. At last night's hearing, we heard from the Chamber of Commerce, Mr. Bentley Graves was here, and introduced, I think, some concepts that are worthy of discussion here. Representative Beard has also introduced legislation. I felt that, I disagree with the fundamental premise that we have to have I think the premise is a moratorium on additional funding for transportation and transit until we have 15% efficiency rates and reports and audits done of MnDOT and Met Council before we can proceed with new revenue. There's a principle that I think we all agree with, and it's one that I've stated in the past, which is transportation problems don't go away. They simply get more expensive. So it's not efficient for us to sit on our hands while reports are being done and goals are being set for efficiency while we have these projects that continue to mount and continue to get more expensive with each year of inaction. That's not a frame around efficiency that I agree with. Although I think we can all agree that we want our government agencies to run efficiency. We want the best bang for our tax dollar. But to simply say we're not going to spend any additional revenue until these this 15% efficiency rate is attained, I think is not the right direction to go. The representative from the chamber said the 15% rate was arrived at through the TFAC report. Well, there's a lot of facts and figures in the TFAC report, including a very high number for road investments, which I think many people aren't necessarily agreeing to. We don't have that TFAC number for roads in our bill. It's actually quite significantly less than that. But on the other hand, I don't think that's a good enough reason for us to say we're going to have a 15% specific number and go with that. So I agree with Representative Beard and others that are looking at how do we make our state agencies and our regional government who are responsible for efficiency more efficient. And I think that message has been received by MnDOT. We had some provisions in the bill in 2008. I don't think it was as gloom and doom as what was presented last night. I think the chamber did include some language in the 2008 bill, and I think MnDOT has followed some of that. There was also language around a value capture report that was followed. And what the A17 amendment simply does is put out some principles around efficiency. I think it's worthwhile to look at. It's worthwhile to incorporate. The message has been delivered. I think this is an important discussion to have. I just don't think that the direction that has been mentioned, which is having a specific audit and this 15% rigid goal, is the way to go. So I want to incorporate what others have mentioned and identified as an important issue that we can perhaps move forward on a bipartisan basis on. So that's what the A17 is about, and I ask for your support.
Okay. Looks like we can move to the vote. Representative Howell.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Chair Hornstein, Representative Hornstein, does this include, I'm just looking at the subdivision 2B, does this include if they, a report on if they sell that excess property, right-of-way property, does that include the analysis on that?
Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Representative Hornstein.
Representative Howell, I do believe that we have, I think the right-of-way acquisition loan fund refers to what's called the RALF fund, and so that is included in the report contents.
Representative Beard.
Madam Chair, just to the A17 amendment on the very end of line 2.17, 2.18, we have a directive to legislative auditor in there, and I'm not going to speak against the amendment. I'm just going to mention that those of us that are on Legislative Audit Commission recognize and are pretty jealous of the things we order the auditor to do without going through the evaluation subcommittee that this year Chair Rick Hansen is chairing. The auditor, I spoke to him briefly, and he's okay with it, but I just want you to know going forward that there are maybe other audit commission members that will see this bill and this provision may have something to say about it, so let's just let it go for
you
now.
Know, well, actually, Representative Beard,
Representative Hornstein.
No. Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Beard, no. I actually agree with you. I think this was just some, we were trying to mix and match a little bit from your bill and my amendment. I think that we should perhaps delete this. As long as it's clear, Mr. Burris, that in lines 11 through 16 that we're asking the Met Council to do a report. I'm not sure we want necessarily the legislative auditor to, they don't necessarily have to review the report.
Mr. Burris.
Madam Chair, Representative Hornstein, you could just remove those two lines, that paragraph B. There's a parallel requirement on the legislative monitor.
MnDOT, yes.
Yeah, for the MnDOT side, that's on lines 1.22, 1.23. Mm-hmm. That if you are seeking to remove requirements on the legislative auditor, so that'd be another spot.
If it's okay, Representative Beard, yeah. Madam Chair, then I would move an oral amendment that lines 1.22 and 1.23 and lines 2.17 and 2.18 be removed from the legislation, from the amendment.
Okay. So everybody clear on that oral amendment? We're removing lines 1.22, 1.23, 2.17, and 2.18. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? The oral amendment carries. So we're back to the A17 amendment.
I guess okay. I would urge support.
Okay. Thank you. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
The amendment passes. Okay. We have the A14 amendment in front of us. 0919. Representative Mahoney.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair and members. The A14 amendment gets to the heart of what I was speaking to last night. I won't try to repeat my comments. There seems, other than to say that, we are poised to, again, we have a chicken or an egg. What are we building? We're building a very lopsided ship. We're doing the Angel Investment Tax Credit. 90% of it goes to Western Hennepin County.
Can't miss that one.
Once it goes to Western Hennepin County, which we're doing $15 million a year.
That one.
Once it goes to Western Hennepin County, which we're doing $15 million a year in tax credits, a 25% credit. So really that turns out to be a $60 million a year investment in Western Hennepin County. And people complain when I whine or I say, what about us? And that I haven't seen the Senate bill, but I'm pretty sure it does not have an end date on it. So it's a $60 million investment every year in companies building out to the Western Metro. And you wonder why those of us... Would you like to hear me whine?
I'm listening.
wonder why those of us elsewhere get a little concerned about this particular issue. And I'm certain that the Met Council has a Western Hennepin County focus. I fully believe it. I have no doubt in my mind. And I saw the chart that came out last night that said 50% of the CTEP money goes here and it's created over here. You know, you've created the chicken, or have you created the egg? And the chicken is over in Western Hennepin County, and everything goes to where the chicken is, because that's where the meat of the problem is. That's where they all think they're going to get something. And frankly, it's a little frustrating. And every other place in the state should understand that. But apparently, from drafting errors, this amendment doesn't fit the bill any longer. So, I will withdraw the A14 amendment, and I will fix it and do it on the floor. So we'll have this conversation in front of TV cameras in the House. And we'll talk about what's going on in this particular metro region. And Mr. Chair, I'll let you, as you build your omnibus bill, hopefully delete the I-394 commuter corridor. So, Madam Chair, I'll withdraw the A14 amendment.
And I just wanted to comment very quickly.
Representative Hornstein.
I know we want to do a vote, but Representative Mahoney, you may be surprised, but I generally agree with the thrust of this amendment, the 40-60 split. I also agree with you on the 394 corridor. You should be honored that someone created an entire chart to address your concerns at last night's hearing. But the message has been delivered, and I think that we need to be a lot more conscious of how decisions are made, east versus Met West. And I think your general concept, the direction you're going, is a solid one, where we actually try to codify, you know, resources that are going out to communities, you know, based on population. We do that in other ways, and so I appreciate your bringing this up. Your message has been delivered.
Okay. Would you like any closing remarks for the overall bill, Representative Horn? Oops,
well,
excuse
me.
Well,
there's discussion for the committee.
Okay. Right now, would you like the discussion first or your comments after?
I would maybe speak for 30 seconds at the end of everyone else's comments.
Okay. So we've got Representative Benson, Representative Petersburg, Representative Beard. Go ahead, Representative Benson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll keep my comments brief. The whole process, I have to applaud all the stakeholders for the amount of work that went in and Representative Hornstein for the job that he's done on this this bill. I'll still walk away from this whole discussion with I understand the importance and the need for transportation investment, and there is a lot of it that needs to get done. I'm on this committee because I understand the core responsibility of government is to provide transportation for our economy and all the needs of the populace. But you know, this is one of those where if this had a shot at even making it to the floor and we'd vote on it the way it is right now, this would have to be a tagline, I think, on a lit piece that would say, "We taxed you before we cut your taxes before we taxed you." I mean, we had a $2.4 billion increase in taxes, which, of course, we raised another billion on top of that. And now we're in the throes of the governor arguing with the Senate about making sure that they get a tax relief bill on his desk by Friday to bend that down by $600 million. And here before us, we have another bill of $700 million per year, not biennium. So, you know, it's not like it magically comes out of a separate pocket, folks. I mean, I have the chamber should be worried. The trucking industry should be worried. The general population should be worried. It's in terms of, you know, when are we going to get our priorities straight in terms of making sure that we are spending money in the right way, the most efficient way? Certainly a lot of that needs to be dedicated to roads and bridges. But so that we're not asking in one biennium that we're going to raise taxes on the public by $4 billion. And oh, by the way, we've already raised by $1.2 billion. Understand the need. all the stakeholders wouldn't be here if they didn't have a good reason to be here and understand how critical that need is. But this is the legislature failing to prioritize and make sure that we're spending the money in the most efficient and wise manner possible. I'll leave it at that. I'm not going to get into the technical merits of the bill or anything of that nature. I am just completely disappointed in a process that would fail to recognize how much money we're taking out of the pockets of Minnesotans.
Representative Petersburg.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And as you know, if you've heard one thing in the last 2 years, for me, it's about Highway 14. And I'm now in a situation where a lot of people from Highway 14 Coalition and others really want me to support this bill. And I would really love to support the bill if it would address Highway 14 needs. I don't think it will. But I want to compliment the Alliance for coming together and trying to work within the process or within the limits that we have set out for them, try to make something happen in order to deal with our transportation needs. But let's look at really what we're talking about here. We're going to raise taxes on gas taxes. Why? So that we have more bonding limit. That's primarily the reason why we do it, because most of these projects, Highway 14, for example, can't occur unless we have the bonding authority, because it's too large to actually fit in the general operating budget, and STIP doesn't include it at all. And so in order for us to do that, we need to have bonding dollars to do that. Unfortunately, what this raises in bonding limit is $200 million. That won't even finish Highway 14. And we know that it's not going to occur. That Corridors of Commerce is going to place all their dollars in 1 year in one particular project. And so basically what we do, we're going to raise our debt limit and we're going to spend every bit of it for the next 4 years and have no reserve to actually deal with the needs that we have. We've heard from the Department of Transportation that over the next 20 years we're going to need $12 billion in order just to stay competitive with people out there of other states. And I really think that's important for us to remember. We haven't really addressed the real need, which is how do we define, how do we prioritize the need for funding? Are we going to need to be looking at how do we fund probably the biggest expense and the best investment for our dollars, which is transportation? We also heard yesterday that the population distribution is somewhere, not quite half, but close to half, in greater Minnesota, and yet where are the bulk of the roads and bridges? Greater Minnesota. We require those, we need those to develop our infrastructure. The Corridors of Commerce has really started to earmark the fact that down in southern Minnesota, Mankato to Rochester corridor is a very vibrant and effective corridor, and it is not connected to Minneapolis-St. Paul. That means that particular corridor can grow and actually reduce some of the congestion in Minneapolis-St. Paul if it was allowed to grow and jobs and stuff were to grow down there. This bill doesn't do that. It actually, what it does is it says Highway 14, you'll never get done because there's not enough money in the budget to do it. So I can't support this bill, even though it would put more dollars into Corridors of Commerce, because it's not going to do anything for the rural area. So I just wish we could revisit and start reprioritizing as a state what transportation infrastructure is. And I do not believe that we're going to be viable in the future dealing with just revenue coming from transportation. So thank you.
Okay. We have three people on the list to speak.
Madam Chair, we may need to come back after session.
Right.
I'm sorry about that. I didn't realize we were
looking. Okay,
I don't know if people keep their things short. We might not have to, but I want to.
Okay. Short. Three people. We have Beard, Johnson, and Hamilton. Short, and then we can go for a vote.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Representative Beard.
First thing I'd like to do is ask for a roll call on final passage of the bill.
Okay, roll call has been requested.
Thank you. And then members, just briefly noted, Chair Hornstein and I have been each other's loyal critic for lo these many years. And I just want to just underscore the point that was made in last night's hearing, yesterday's hearing, that this is harder than it looks. Members, getting a transportation package together that could just be a straight highway vote would be, in my world, a simple vote. But knowing the complexities of the region and the state, the transit advocates will never let that happen. They will make sure they have something on the table, or they will not let roads and bridges get the funding vote that they deserve. That's just the way it works around here. It's just what it is. So what we have on this bill is a massive funding increase proposal, tax increase proposal, more than fully funds in the wildest dreams all the transit advocates and their social programs. And it leaves the highways, admittedly, a new chunk of change, but continues to not address the situation that we have with going forward with roads and bridges. Madam Chair, I know we're going to pass this bill here in a few moments, and that will be what it is. But thank you, Mr. Chairman, for allowing us to have a good discussion as we move forward. I'm so sorry that Scott and Carver County are still now going to be compelled to belong to something that doesn't serve the needs of their citizens as well as you think it does. But I'm looking forward to continuing the discussion as we move forward. And thank you for that, Madam Chair.
Thank you. And Representative Johnson?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I think you find that usually those of us along Highway 14 stick together, but today I need to disagree with Representative Petersburg. This bill does provide funds needed to assure that we meet critical transportation infrastructure needs of Minnesota, and particularly those on Highway 14 and other corridors through funding corridors of commerce to the tune of $800 million. And that's a significant asset for us. As we like to say in Nicollet County, let's get the job done and let's do it right. This bill does that. I'm voting yes.
Representative Hamilton.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And first of all, I apologize to the person, the testifier that came down on rural transit. My frustrations are not with you. It's with the reality that we face on many of these bills that come before us. You know, I have a tremendous amount of respect for Representative Hornstein as well. My frustrations are in rural Minnesota in the spirit of compromise, and we're always the one compromising. It's here you go, we'll give you this nice, brand new, shiny new car, but we're going to take your house in return. And that's too often that happens. So I vote no. I believe a roll call was that. All right. Thank you.
Thank you. And Representative Hornstein.
Thank you, members. Let's vote. This is a real opportunity to invest in roads, bridges, transit, jobs, and our future. I urge a yes vote.
Okay. A roll call has been requested.
Hornstein?
Yes.
Bernardi?
Yes.
Beard?
Nay.
Benson?
No.
Dean?
Yes.
Earhart?
Yes.
Hamilton?
No.
Houseman?
Yes.
Holberg?
No.
Howe?
No.
Johnson?
Aye.
Mahoney?
Aye.
Mason? Metza?
Aye.
O'Neill? Petersburg?
No.
Sundin?
Aye.
Okay, so the motion before us to recommend House File 2395 as amended to be referred to the Committee on Taxes is 9 ayes and 6 nays. The bill has passed.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members.
Okay, the committee is adjourned.